Over there, then. You.
Can I go ahead? But maybe there's people setting up still.
Please.
So, Luigi. And the question is, I don't really know much about Luna. My question is, why exactly one needs to have such an experiment underground? So, what is the background? This case that is coming from, you know, its cosmogenic background, and why is it a problem for such a measurement, cross-section measurement?
The background is from cosmic rays. These cross-sections are, if you go down, 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 I mean, take the sun, for example. The reaction that happens in the sun are at an energy of the order of the Kev, so much lower than the Coulomb barrier. The two positive ions should come together, and they are repulsed by the having the same charge. Of course, if they in the middle, you have a hole that is a dip that is due to strong interaction. So you have to go across to the barrier. That means a factor, that an exponential factor in the energy decreasing exponential. So you decrease exponentially with the energy. So several of the reactions of interest for the sun were measured at higher energies and then extrapolated to low energy. Of course, if you have a resonance in the middle, then you can be wrong. I remember that one of the solutions of the solar neutrino puzzle, one of the solutions, the possible solution was that one of the reactions were having a cross-section substantially different from the extrapolation. And we understood that the faulty was not the sun but the neutrino, when also this nuclear solution of the puzzles was excluded by Luna. Now, why underground? Because they are so small that the muons sometimes make a reaction in the target that is similar, simulates the... So you have to go underground. The reason to have Luna MEV at energy higher than the present one that is 400 keV is to, for some of the reactions of astrophysical interest, need to have data at higher energies, so you have to go to higher energy to connect with the existing measure now, and gradually come back, come down.
Okay, thanks. And just a follow-up, and then, so I see this bunker structure, this concrete structure. I was wondering whether is there any specific reason why, or?
The concrete structure,
yes,
is to protect the other,
okay,
experiments. I mean,
okay,
that is underground experiments, so you have to avoid neutrons as much as possible.
Okay.
This reaction can produce some neutrons going around. You need some concrete to absorb them.
Avni Sebastian Sharma from Amsterdam, NICAF. So I've got three questions. The first one is, do experiments at Gran Sasso experience difficulties due to seismic activity? Seismic activity.
What?
Do experience at Gran Sasso experience difficulties due to seismic activities? Seismic? Okay, yeah, okay. Seismic activities.
For the experiments.
Yeah.
There are or has been monitoring. I mean, if you take a seismographer on the surface, there is a net of seismographer on the surface and underground. Underground, they are protected by the anthropic noise. The traffic on the roads, for example, makes a noise that interferes with the registration of the seismographer, so it's much quieter underground.
Okay.
This is one. another instrument that was there but now is dismissed, there is one in Canfranc, Spain, similar, is a set of couple of Michelson interferometers. This interferometer can go down in frequency. The seismographer pendula, so they register down to frequencies, they say 150 millihertz. If you go down to zero frequency, you find something new. And they did find something new. Not really quakes, but the
yeah.
The seismography, of course, they had the regime. No, there were no problems.
Yeah.
We had, before building the experiments, you control the situation. The release of energy during a quake happens substantially on the surface. Mm-hmm. Inside the mountain, the release of energy is less. We measured this thing and we found a factor. As a matter of fact, it's not exactly like that, because the cavity has a certain dimension. And so that means that the surface of the cavity is seen by the quake if the frequency is above 30 hertz. But 30 hertz, the power is already. And below 1 hertz, roughly, because at 1 hertz, the wavelength is so big that you are not on the ground. And the experiments are designed with the data. The specific anti-seismic specific of the experiments are taken into account. But you had another 2 questions, maybe.
Yeah, I have 2 other ones. So, what kind of energy scale can you reach with the Luna accelerator?
Luna is 2 MeV, I think.
Okay, right.
The kinetic energy.
Yeah. Okay, and then the last one, it seems like this is not political, so don't worry. It seems like the war is affecting you quite a lot, so are there any plans to do the purification of xenon in Italy or anywhere else in Europe?
You don't say. Can you repeat?
Oh.
I have some problem now here.
Okay, so I will do this slowly. It seems like the war is affecting you a lot. So, are there any plans of doing the purification of xenon in Italy or anywhere else in Europe?
Purification, properly speaking, is isotope separation. For this practice, all the isotopes that are double beta active are one isotope of the nucleus. That the abundance of this is around 8-10%. The only exception is tellurium, that is about 30%. A quora use natural tellurium. Instead, in xenon and in germanium, you have to separate the isotope. The only place in the world where the isotope separation can be done is Russia.
Mm.
They have a series. Enormous. I saw a projector yesterday of centrifuges. You make a gas with your element, and then you separate with enormous amount of centrifuges. So all the double beta decay program in the world will be affected by the war, at least in the countries that broke relation with Russia, not in China, for example.
But it would be impossible to build these centrifuges somewhere else.
No, in China they can buy the xenon from Russia, or in Japan too, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Filippo. I just wanted to ask about the status of the xenon anomaly for 2 years ago. And for example, if the backgrounds have been...
Which anomaly?
The xenon anomaly, xenon 1T.
Look, there is a, my person, you asked to me, the explanation is very simple, it's tritium. Normally, the steel, often, even the when you produce something, there might be tritium in the steel that is released. If you not necessarily you know that when a priori when you make your Monte Carlo, you might not include in your background the model. This peak is completely can be explained with a reasonable quantity of tritium. Of course, if you assume maybe not tritium, maybe something else, then I found something else. But the most trivial explanation is that it's tritium.
I seem to remember that they were saying that they had taken the tritium background into account. I seem to remember that they were claiming in the paper that the tritium background was under control. So I was wondering if more precise measurements of the background had been taken
since. In the paper, they make three hypotheses, tritium, and they have a second K-square. Something new, and they have another K-square. And they come on both of them. In both of them, of course, the fit will take some of quantity of one thing and quantity of the other. My opinion is not that it's just tritium, but that's not my personal opinion.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, maybe I'm simple-minded, but if there is a trivial solution and a new physics solution, I believe that it's difficult to justify the second.
Okay, I'm Giovanni Malfattore. Just a curiosity, I was thinking if after the commissioning of the OPERA experiment of 10 years ago, basically, if there is an idea about new experiments with the joint forces of CERN and the Laboratorio Nazionale del Gran Sasso to study, for example, neutrino oscillation as used to be. Thank you.
I did not get the question.
I am asking if there is the possibility to a new joint venture to join the forces of CERN and the Laboratori Nazionale Gran Sasso to create a new experiment like the one OPERA used to be to study, for example, neutrinos oscillation of there is nothing in the idea of the Laboratori Nazionale Gran Sasso for now, and they basically are more.
You mean if there is a possibility in Gran Sasso to have a long baseline neutrino beam?
Yes, I mean.
No, the answer is not in the program of Gran Sasso, it's not over the program of CERN. When CERN decided that two resources are limited, when CERN, many years ago, decided to build LSE, has to put all the possible resources on LSE and the experiments. So the program of neutrinos, the CERN, was stopped. You need a neutrino beam.
Yes, I mean about the OPERA experiment of the OPERA. OPERA.
So now we should not need the neutrino beam of OPERA because this physics is already done. You would need a program of neutrino beam like the one that is going on in Japan and the one that is going on at Fermilab, to have power on the beam. You need a much powerful beam. What you have to do now? To look for the CP phase, for example. And for that you need a large intensity. That means in Japan, they went, and in the States, they went up to 500 kilowatts in target. The beam of offerers was less than 100 kilos of the target. Then the facility in Japan is stopped to increase to change some structure in the accelerator in order to have higher intensity. And this is one. The other, more a little bit far in the time, is to have a longer baseline. And there are two programs in Japan to have hyper-kamiokande, that is a super-kamiokande bigger, maybe with another terminal in Korea, and the United States to have a new detector, a liquid argon detector, in this surf laboratory that they have underground in South Dakota. We cannot do everything in Europe.
Okay.
This one, sorry. There are two small experiments, one which is called Phaser and the other one which is called SND. And one of them recycles the emulsions that have been used by the OPERA experiment, and they are located 500 meters in the opposite directions from ATLAS, and they will do measurement of neutrino cross-sections, which are missing. But of course, it's entirely different from what you're talking about.
They are already
done.
This
is another.
They are already done. This is a crucial point. At the level of accuracy you are now with the, even with the appearance experiment, you need to know very well the structure of the beam at the source. D2K, the collaboration, part of the D2K collaboration, has made this measurement the same.
Yeah, maybe if I can add, at some point we considered this possibility, you know, when Icarus finished, say, its mission at Gran Sasso, there was a possibility of performing an experiment sending a beam from CERN. But the point is what Sandro mentioned, namely the fact that you need a strong beam and
a big detector.
Yes, and a big detector. No, Icarus could have been a possible, but you know, apart from the fact that Icarus itself maybe was too limited, but the main point was to have this strong beam from CERN. So finally, it was decided to send Icarus to Fermilab to perform a short baseline neutrino experiment at Fermilab.
No, so, but you need also a big detector.
And so
you need 100 kilotons at least.
Yes, you need it also. But you know, one could conceive, but certainly it is out.
No, but it cannot fit in recess. You should make a new hole.
A new, yeah.
By the way, the Dune experiment in the States, the liquid argon detector, assuming that they will ever do that, is not really underground. It's only moderately underground.
So I don't know, Luigi, I don't know what you know about this. So Professor Zoccoli mentioned this his proposal for this. It just said screen this with this a new generation EU, now it's got funds in Italy, this proposal for having a screen, but then he didn't say anything more for the next generation double beta decay experiments that might be at Gran Sasso. I don't know whether you know. I wanted to know more about this.
Maybe Antonio. I know that IFN is proposing Gran Sasso. For the others that don't know, Gerda, Legend 200, the first phase of Legend, uses the same infrastructure of Gerda, the cryostat and the water tank. And so that is in Gran Sasso, joining forces also by the parallel experiment that was Majorana demonstrator in the state. The next phase is more open in a sense, that Gerda 1000, that needed new infrastructure. You have seen a picture of it. This new infrastructure can fit in Gran Sasso, or might be go to deeper. At that level, the cosmogenic background, due to muon coming through the rock, might, at a level of 10 to the minus 6 events per kilo per ton per year, might start to contribute. But there are hardware procedures to control this background. So this is an alternative. And NFN, I understand, I propose to go with that. The other possibility to go deeper. To go deeper means Snow Lab in Canada.
Now I understand. I think it was referring to the option proposal of refurbishing the Borexino infrastructure for Legend 1 ton. I think this is what he was talking about.
Yeah, maybe.
But so because it
Antonio,
that would be the for the water shield on basically. But I mean, the side comment is that still this does not solve entirely the problem that Legend has with Gran Sasso, and on which we are working on that, because you still have long-lived isotopes that you cannot. I mean, if you wanna tag them with a coincidence window, you would just introduce an enormous dead time in your experiment. So you have to do ultimately something smarter. But
anyhow, there are 5 years of time. Gerda to Magic to Legend to Candle starting now will take data for 5 years. There were some.
My name is Francesca Ercolessi. I had a question on the experiment LVD. Professor Zoccoli said that he studies the neutrino fluxes from the collapse of supernova. And my question is, how probable is this an event like this, and how close to the Earth it must be to be measured?
If both being in our galaxy, the supernova must both happen in our galaxy.
Okay.
Now, how many supernovae explode in a galaxy in a century, in a millennium? The last two were the one of Tycho Brahe, and Kepler. So quite in a galaxy might explode between 3 and 5 galaxies, supernovae per millennium. Maybe we are lucky tomorrow, who knows? We know that there might be more, because if you look to supernovae only through light, if they happen near the center of the galaxy where it's full of powder, you might not be able to see them. But now there are, with LVD and before that, some experiments similar made in Russia, that is more than 30 years or 35, there is no explosion in the galaxy. Who knows?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I asked this question also to astronomers. What is the closest star to us which might indeed go supernova? And I think Betelgeuse is the answer, which is not so far away. But even if that goes supernova, it won't harm us very much. So I was wondering that there'll be a flash of neutrinos and so on. But it's still far away. So
in our galaxy.
It's in our galaxy, of course. It's a bright star in our.
Typically 10 kiloparsec.
Sorry?
Typically 10 kiloparsec. We are 8 kiloparsec from the center of the galaxy. And we are on the border.
Well, I think this star is closer to us, but not so close that a supernova would be any problem to us. It might look like a full moon or something. Or even brighter.
We had an explosion of a supernova, not exactly in our galaxy, but in the satellites, the Magellanian clouds. Mm-hmm. One experiment that was Kamiokande, non super Kamiokande, saw a bunch of events. Also, the analogous of the LVD, that is in the Baxan laboratory, smaller, saw 2 or 3 events. So if it's there, even just outside the galaxy, we will be seen by not only by LVD, by certainly by Super-Kamiokande, by
yes, but if it is as close as that star, which in principle could go supernova, it would be like a bright, like a full moon or so. It would be quite bright, but not harmful.
Would be?
It would not be able to kill us, but it would be.
If it's outside the galaxy, will not be seen.
It will be seen.
It's too far. Maybe Hyper-Kamiokande might be a few events if we are in the Virgo cluster, but just a few events.
Oh well, we have to look. I have to look it up. I don't know exactly the exact answer anymore.
Maybe Francis Hansen is coming tomorrow. Ice cube that is designed for high energy neutrinos, but if there is a burst of neutrinos at low energy, might be able to see them, and that is very big.
Okay, questions?
There are two.
Two.
Yeah. Okay. Aidan Chatwin Davies is the name. In one of the later slides, it was mentioned that applications of quantum computing and quantum technologies are being investigated for Gran Sasso's activities. I don't suppose you could please comment a bit on that?
Again, sorry, repeat clearly the
slower.
In one of the later slides, it was mentioned that applications of quantum computing and quantum technologies are being investigated for Gran Sasso's activities.
Application
of quantum computing.
Quantum computing, that I don't know.
Okay.
One of the reasons to have a quantum computer, quantum computer do not exist really. To have some qubits underground is that the core in certain configuration of qubits are affected by cosmic rays. So you can experiment it there in a situation free of interference with the cosmic rays. But I don't know more. I don't know, Antonio, if you know.
There are two different aspects. One is to test
in the micro
to test quantum technologies in general, in particular quantum computing in a very special environment like underground, deep underground environment. So to see possible effects related to the absence or reduction, say, of cosmic ray influence. The other is a general question of making use of quantum technologies, in particular quantum computing, for the experiments going on at Gran Sasso, for instance, for the reconstruction of events, so techniques related to machine learning and so on. So these are two different aspects, and certainly there might be interesting possibilities in the future for Gran Sasso as well as for other underground laboratories.
But are there activities that are computationally intensive at Gran Sasso? Presumably not.
No, not at all.
No, at the moment there is no activity of that kind. Okay.
Thank you. My name is Vladislav Barinov, and my question is, are the plans to conduct experiments like GALAX in the future in Gran Sasso again in principle? Thank you.
GALAX was a a radiochemical experiment on solar neutrinos.
I mean galaxies, these artificial sources, chromium sources.
But there is no program on solar neutrinos, Borexino apart. Borexino measured all the components of the solar neutrino spectrum, specifically, not integrated like made galaxies or sage. This experiment now has been completed and is terminated. For the future, there is no program for solar neutrinos, not even for geoneutrinos.
Maybe you were referring to SOX. No, I'm not sure.
I mean, for example, you know, best experiment is artificial source, yeah? And I mean, maybe in future, in principle, the new series of experiment these artificial sources. I know that this is my question.
No.
Thank you. I understand.
There was an idea to use a radioactive source, could not be called a radioactive, a neutrino, artificial neutrino source. Under Borexino, there is a small cavity to put it there, and then you might have for this there are some so-called anomaly. Professor González García talked about that for neutrino of the order of 1 electron volt of mass. In this case, you should have seen the counting, the interaction rate changing with the distance up and down. The problem there was that for that you have to put in a reactor in Russia your element to produce the isotope that has a limited lifetime. You bring there and it keeps decaying. For that, the source has to have certain characteristics, not be dangerous and have a activity enough to make an experiment. In practice, they did not succeed to produce the part of the collaboration that was responsible to produce a source did not succeed in having an adequate source, so the program was stopped.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And so to follow up, as far as you know, there are no more proposals for something going in that experimental direction.
No.
That idea.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think it's time to close this session and thank Professor Bettini. Okay. So.